Well, we're happy to be joined now by Fred Shrigley, who is a Gloucester businessman, longtime owner of the famous Rumline restaurant in Gloucester. And Fred, welcome to MSO, and I hesitate to ask this, but how are you doing?
Well, Rick, it's one day after another where you go up and down, and it's tough. You know, I've been in this business for 47 years. I started with the Pig's Eye in Salem in 72, the Wayward Duck in Beverly Farms in 75, and the Rum Line in 78. I've seen hurricanes, I've seen blizzards, I've seen the dot-com bubble, financial meltdowns, and I always had an idea of what I should be doing or what I could be doing to get through this. And right now, I'm kind of at a loss. So that's always in the back of my head, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Well, I know. I sense frustration with business owners and a bit of anger as well. Fred, maybe we could go back to 78 because according to your website, you started at the Rum Line in 78, and as I recall, we had a major storm back then.
Yes, but we weren't open in Gloucester then. I bought the company in October.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really open until the spring. So we worked on it all winter long. But I do have a funny story of what I did with my old 56 Ford pickup truck with the 10-foot bed.
Okay.
Okay. So I parked it in the Salem parking garage so that I could get out early in the morning. And we were open for business walk-in on Derby Street in Salem. And after a while, we were running out of beer and everything else, and all the package stores were out of everything. So I put my thinking cap on, and you had to be an essential worker, like a hospital person, like now. And I got my friend to dress up in a nurse's outfit, a wig.
Okay.
And I forged some funny-looking documents from the Lawrence General Hospital. And we went off, and we got through the checkpoints on 128 and on 114. We went up to Lawrence, where my friend owned NP Beverages. And so we pulled up, and he was there waiting for us. We filled up every square inch of the pickup truck with kegs, hard liquor. We had bottles in the glove compartment, under the seats, behind the seats, on the floor. I could barely drive. I think I was sitting on a couple of bottles, too. And we got back to Salem, and lo and behold, we were restocked. And we got through that.
Well, it shows you know how to think outside the box, Fred. And by the way, for anybody who doesn't remember that, and I know you have an eclectic audience and eclectic clientele at the Rum Line, but back in 78, there were National Guard checkpoints, as Fred was just mentioning. And you could, in fact, I lived in Essex at the time, and we weren't allowed into Gloucester that first week after the snowstorm. So you got pretty clever there, Fred.
Well, desperation leads to that.
Oh, that's for sure. Now, you know, the thing is, obviously that was, a two-week thing, a two or three-week, and it had its ramifications. But this thing, it's one thing to face a storm, and it's one thing to rebuild after a storm. But I think one of the things that makes this so, I think, unique is the uncertainty of it. Because when there's a storm, you know you're going to get some good weather. You know the snow is finally going to be removed. You know the hurricane's going to pass. You know the electricity will come on, back on. But there's so much uncertainty around this, and I wonder if you could talk me through, Fred, on how this thing transpired and the closure and everything you've had to do to secure your business.
Okay, well, first of all, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, is, if not our biggest day of the year, the second biggest day. So leading up to that, we stocked tons of liquor, 160 pounds of gray corned beef because we have a huge St. Patrick's Day party. We're all ready to go. We cooked 20 pounds of potatoes, everything. We're all set to go. And then Governor Baker closed on the 16th, and we couldn't be open on the 17th. So we were open on the 16th, so I got on Facebook, talked to people, and I said to all my regulars, I said, look, if you want your corned beef and cabbage, come get it tonight, Monday the 16th. And lo and behold, tons of people showed up. We had kind of an Irish wake, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, we sold almost the rest of it out to go. So, and then I had my staff come in. We emptied all the bottle coolers. We emptied all the sandwich units, upstairs, downstairs, shut the walk-ins off, and put everything we could in the freezer. I gave the staff everything else that was going to perish that we couldn't use mm-hmm. by giving it away. And so then I shut the heat off, and not knowing, when it would come back on, I didn't want to accumulate more bills, electric bills, etc. So that was the first step. Then you realize, Jesus, is this going to end? When it's going to end? And you get really depressed. So it came to a head with me on Easter, when everybody's, saying Happy Easter, Happy Easter, and it just didn't resonate with me. So I got on Facebook, and my rant was, F this bullshit, Happy Easter. I'm not happy about it or anything else for that matter. And, that was my low point. And I got a lot of, hang in there, Fred, this will pass and everything like that. Well, here we are now, 2 weeks later, and nothing's passed. And, the name calling and the finger pointing, I mean, it's ridiculous.
What's your relationship with your staff, Fred? Because you have, like your clientele, who are very loyal, and I'll get to, I want to mention, what the Rum Line is in terms of those who might not know it. It is a restaurant. It is almost a nightclub atmosphere. You also have a function room. But your staff has been with you. And what's that relationship like? I mean, what did you tell them, and how does that work? To me, it's almost like, going into battle. It's like, okay, guys, here we go.
Well, two of my present staff have been with me over 20 years. And for them, it's really hard. And if you work at night, you come in at 5 o'clock, you work till 1 o'clock, and then you don't get out of there till 2 o'clock. They're in shock. I support them as much as I can. I told them immediately to go out and get unemployment, and I was smart enough, and I did the right thing. I always recorded all their tips plus a little extra. So when they went in to get unemployment, they were like, oh, thanks. You were getting a lot more than we would. Mm-hmm. So, I've talked to a couple of them every now and then. They're, some of them have kids, some of them have disabled kids. They're no different than anybody else that's unemployed right now. We're all looking at an uncertain future.
Is there any help coming, Fred? Because we see all this stuff about stimulus and all this other stuff. And I, I'm a math teacher. I'm not a business person, so I don't know what all that means. But obviously you've got bills to pay even though you're not open. Is there help coming for you?
Okay. I lent the business $34,000. a couple of weeks ago, so that I was able to, because I'm 74 years old and I've saved and saved. So that was to pay all my outstanding bills, pretty much, the Commonwealth, the IRS, National Grid, the liquor companies, the wine companies, the food companies. So my thought was, when we do reopen, at least I won't have to pay anybody anything. And we can sell what we have, and I might get some of that money back. In the meantime, I applied for the PPP program, and I've been told that I've been approved. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that you have to, if you use it, if you accept it, you have to use 75% of it for payroll. So now it's kind of like, do I hire everybody back to do nothing? Are they going to do better on unemployment? You know, how's this all going to shake out? So right now I'm in the process I think I'm going to take the money and going to work with my team to see that you know, they get the maximum out of it, and you know, and I get the most of it forgiven. Mm-hmm. And it goes to utilities, rent, and payroll.
Well, I got to tell you,
I'm lucky that I have that option.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I hope there is light, because, you know, your business is an absolute beacon in the community, as are you. And it's funny, when you mention, I'm in that same general generation, and I got to tell people, the first time I met Fred was probably about 30 years ago, and he was sponsoring a bus trip to Sunday River, and Fred is an incredible skier, and for anybody who's never seen Fred, he hasn't changed look-wise in all those years. So, Fred, I don't know how you do it, but it sounds to me like there is some optimism, Fred. You're going to be able to put this thing back together if it ends within a certain time period?
Well, you know, our operation is unique, and you've been in the rum line plenty of times, so you know how small mm-hmm. the square footage is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to open the doors if I'm going to have, like, 15 people, one over here, one over here, one over here.
Right.
The staff wearing masks and everybody wearing masks. I mean, you know, that's just, I can't do that. That, you know, some of the bigger places, yeah, they can put a table here, a table there, and everything like that. And then we have live music seven mm-hmm. nights a week.
Yep.
And we have two shows on Saturday. We have the Sea Shanty crew upstairs on Monday night. And there, the average age is probably 65. So who knows when they're going to feel safe to go out. So because of my size of my place, and my operation with the live music, and we had spontaneous dancing, etc. I'm not sure. It might be a year. Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of pessimistic, because until they have a cure, a vaccine, or something like that, I think I'm between a rock and a hard place.
Well, I know it's a very intimate setting, and that's part of the allure, for God's sakes, is you're right on top of the band. Everybody is together in there, and it's a great ambiance. And, you know, it is a classic in the city. And by the way, for anybody who doesn't know what rum line means, I encourage you to look it up, because it's a nautical term. It's R-H-U-M, but of course the R-U-M is implied, I suppose. But Fred, I don't know. What do you think here? I mean, have you talked to other business people in the city as to? I mean, there are a few other small pubs in the city, smaller than yours, and I imagine that they're going to have trouble reopening as well.
Exactly. There's Halibut Point. There's Stones. It's a Topside Grill. There's a bunch of them. All the restaurants are going to be faced with the same, you know, dim. You know, forecasts. I think you'll see a lot of restaurants, small restaurants, go out of business.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
I think Main Street, small stores, probably go out of business. I mean, I'm lucky. I've been here 41 years, and I don't have a lot of debt, so I'm in a good position to survive this. God help some of the other people who have mortgages and have business loans and everything. I mean, it's going to be tough.
Well, the other thing, Fred, is you've supported local musicians for so long, and that's such a big part of what you do. It's such a big part of Gloucester and Cape Ann, and it would be awful, if you can't get them back into the corner there. Have you talked to any of them, or I'm sure they've reached out to you?
Oh yeah, I've been supporting them online. They have the Facebook live concerts and the watch parties, so I've been putting money in their chip jars, whenever I see a concert, and they're appreciative, and some of them are strictly musicians, in which case they have little or no income. Fly Amaro is one case in point. He tours the country with the band Orleans, and he plays at the Rum Line every Wednesday, and he has no income coming in. We did do one live concert from the Rum Line with just three of us there. Renata Green, photographer, she took the the video going. Fly did an amazing job, and he got $500 or $600 from that one show, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
But he has an elderly mother, and when he wanted to do it again in the next week, they said, "You're not going anywhere."
Yeah.
So that's an example of some of my Boston bands that play, like Kingsley's Blood. They tour the country too, and they don't have any gigs. So it's always the small guy who gets hurt, and artists and musicians are grouped into that category.
Well, you're the first guy we've talked to. We've been talking to places like the Open Door and things like that, and getting out the food. And you're the first business guy I've talked with, and we're just beginning to learn how all these dominoes are falling and the really bad effect that it's having on people. I think finally, Fred, my last question would be: is there any communication with city people, city officials, and your business?
The Board of Health.
Oh no!
Sending out stuff.
Oh no! Yeah.
The mayor, Safathia, is a friend, and I say that, and I mean it. So I'm sitting in the Rum Line, having a beer all by myself, watching TV at the end of the bar, and I get this text message. And my phone didn't say who it's from. And and it said, somebody's in the Rum Line watching TV and drinking a beer. And I ignored it. And then the next text message was, one of your neighbors said that there's somebody in the Rum Line. I ignored it too. So the next day, I'm going through my phone, deleting text messages. And I came across, the one that said, there are people in the Rum Line, somebody in the Rum Line. And so I texted back, mind your own effing business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a phone call from the same number. And I answered it, and I said, who the F is this? And it was the mayor laughing hysterically.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's our mayor. That is Mayor Safathia. Oh, my God. Oh, Lordy.
We laughed and talked for, 5 or 10 minutes. And then she just said, don't worry about it. Everything's cool. And there's that.
Fred, I just feel so I guess helpless is the right word. We're all anxious. We all have cabin fever. But to walk the streets of Gloucester and see all the places that are closed and wonder if they're ever going to open again. But then to go to by your place, here it is a Friday night, you know, and to see the place closed and there's no music coming out of there. And it's just... I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost apocalyptic. And but it sounds like you know, there is hope. We got to get out of this thing. And I know one thing. I know that there's a tremendous crowd of people, not only in Gloucester but all over Cape Ann and North Shore, who can't wait to break those doors down once you open them up again. So you got to hang in there.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna hang in there. Richard, when we open the doors, I hope you're going to be the first one in.
I hope so. All right, hold on, Fred. That is Fred Strigley, who is the owner, businessman, big businessman in Gloucester, well-known to the city of Gloucester, and the owner of the Rumline Restaurant on Railroad Avenue in Gloucester. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.